Bless each of you, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Aren't you glad that we do live in a free country? You know, I spent 6 years and 10 months in the Air Force, and one thing it did, we grew up in a very patriotic family. Our parents and grandparents loved the Lord, loved our country, and were so grateful for the freedoms that we have. And on May 14th, 1981, was my entrance into the United States Air Force. And I'll tell you, since that point until this time, I've had an even greater love for our country. I think when you do go and you serve, whether it be in peacetime or war, it just does something to you. And when you hear the Pledge of Allegiance, or at a funeral when you hear taps, it just moves you like nothing else can. I've entitled this message, America Bless God. We've had so many God Bless America that I think we need to bless God. It's time that we make some changes in our personal lives, our corporate lives, our national lives. I want you to imagine this breaking news coming out of Salem First Baptist Church. This just in. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court has issued a statement. Divine providence has given our people the choice of their rulers, and it's the duty of our Christian nation to select Christians for their rulers. In other breaking news, our research reveals that almost every legislature has now passed a law requiring officials to take this oath. I do profess faith in God, the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, His only Son. And I acknowledge the Holy Scriptures as divinely given by God. And further breaking news, Congress just passed legislation that the Holy Bible is recommended for use in the schools. What do you think the response of our nation would be if something like that were to transpire? They would say that radical Christians are taking over our nation. But actually, those three statements come from our history. Number one, it was John Jay, the first justice of the Supreme Court, who said we should elect Christians to the highest offices. And then secondly, many of the colonies, the original colonies, we had Delaware, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, they required government officials to take a similar oath that they believed in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1782, Congress approved the use of the Bible in schools, and by the way, they funded it with tax dollars. So though it's not something I made up, that's from our history. Now I want you to stand with me in the honor of reading the Word of God, and we're going to read verses 10 through 12 of chapter 33. And it says these words, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance." Father in heaven, I pray that we would turn back to You. And I pray, Father, that our desires would be to glorify Your Son. And Lord, I do pray that it would start with us, would start here, would start in my heart and the hearts of those that are hearing me today. And I pray, Lord, that we would live out Your righteousness and we would advance the gospel and we would share the good news of the only way to heaven and peace through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that You would just give us a strength and guidance and wisdom and a compassionate heart to do it with love and to do it because of our love for You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Psalm 33 really informs us about how God relates to nations that relate to Him. And there's a direct correlation between how we treat God and how God will bless our nation. The text tells us the plans of humanity rise and they fall, but God's plans stay firm. They are never changing and they will endure throughout time. Now, what we need to understand is we must realize that God has a personal plan for my life and your life and every life on planet Earth. And what we need to do is seek to please Him in all things. And the Bible is clear, how we relate to God is how He will relate back to us. And a nation that honors God and blesses God and lifts high His name and lifts up the very Son of God, He will bless that nation. So I want to share today four things, four affirmations that God would protect our nation, and God will protect our nation if there's a big if. The first point that I want to make to you is this: the founding fathers expressed our need for God's protection. Now, we've heard so often that our founding fathers were all deists. You need to go back and study for yourself, because that's absolutely not true. They didn't believe that God started the universe, wound it up, then stepped back like some clockmaker and lets it wind down. 245 years ago, a group of brave colonists set forth to have freedom for our country. And they declared the independence for this land and for this nation. They did it against the most powerful monarch on the planet at that time, King George III. And if they were not granted their independence, they would fight for their independence, because they believed that we needed a revolution to change the course of this nation. And they recognized something else: if we lost that, they would lose their lives. They were outnumbered. The colonists were outnumbered 3-1. And not only were they outnumbered 3-1, but also the British were the most powerful army on the planet. They were well-trained soldiers. It was an oiled machine that had marched throughout history and continued to win battle after battle. And the colonists, they were teachers, and they were preachers, and they were farmers, and they weren't professional soldiers. But I want you to understand, they understood something about the Bible, and they believed what the Bible had to say. They believed Psalm 5:11, which says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." That was a prayer that God answered for this country. And because He did, we are able to experience the freedom that we have today, and we're able to come here and worship without any reservation or anyone harming us. And God spread that protection over our country, and that protection has continued all of these years. And those men who formed and fashioned the Declaration of Independence, an amazing group of men. You know the first part of that. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. But you may not know the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence. I want to share it with you. "And for the support of the Declaration, with a firm reliance on protection of divine providence," another name for God, "we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And 55 men signed that document that day. And you know one man who signed that, because you see his name, it's larger than anyone else. And that's where we get the name, "Sign your John Hancock here." John Hancock was willing to step out and say, "Hey, come after me if you will." And many of those men did lose their lives, and most lost their fortunes. Unfortunately, historical revisionists try to teach that God had no part in our country, and the Bible played little role. But if you go to Washington, D.C., you know what you're going to see all over Washington? You're going to see Scripture over buildings. You're going to see it over and over again, because our country was founded upon the Bible, and our country was founded upon the religious freedoms that we have in our country today. The second affirmation that I want to give you is this. Number two, in the past, we have experienced God's protection. Can I get an amen for that? We have experienced God's protection. From the first, the founders understood that if they depended upon themselves, that all human plans would come to naught. But if they depended on God, God would see them through. And God had made an incredible promise. When we look to God, we can claim this promise It is Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints." That's what God will do for us if we sincerely seek Him and give Him ourselves, give Him our country, give Him our lives. Many of you have studied and know, and I don't know, we do have a few people in here that were alive during December the 7th, 1941. And you know that we say the day that we live in infamy, as FDR said. And Pearl Harbor was attacked, and we lost 3,800 American lives as the Japanese attacked our country. And it's amazing what transpired that Sunday morning. And after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt called on a man who was in Fredericksburg, Texas, by the name of Chester Nimitz. And Chester Nimitz, Admiral Nimitz, came, and he would be over the Pacific Fleet. And after touring Pearl Harbor and all of the destruction that was there, he gathered all of the officers that were there at Pearl Harbor, and he made this statement. And I won't quote it exactly because there's a word in there that I won't use, but he said, "We were blank lucky. We were lucky." And they looked at him, "What do you mean we were lucky? We lost 3,800 Americans. Look at the devastation around this island." He said, "We were lucky in three ways. Number one, we were lucky that they attacked on Sunday morning, because 9 out of every 10 sailors were on shore leave and not in their ship. Secondly, we were lucky that they didn't destroy our dry dock, because if they destroyed our dry dock, every single one of these ships would have had to have been towed back to California to be repaired. Number three, we were lucky that they did not shoot, damage, or inflict any issues on our fuel system, because one bullet or one bomb and we would have lost it all, and it would have taken months after months after months to get our fuel supply." And then he looked at his officers and he said these words, "Do you think we were lucky, or do you think God blessed America?" And the officers in unison said, "God blessed America." Now, I think 3 years later, almost 4 years later, from 1941 to 1945, we're not in the Pacific theater now, we're in the European theater. And in the European theater, D-Day is coming. The Normandy invasion, the largest military landing operation in history. That invasion at D-Day. FDR went on the radio and he prayed for our nation. He prayed a very eloquent prayer. And I want to read it. He didn't say, "God bless our troops." Here's what he said: "My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join me in prayer." Here's his prayer: "Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our culture, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and thy righteousness and the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tired by day, by night, without rest until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violence of war. For these men are lately drawn from thy ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for the return to their home. Some will never return, Embrace these, Father, and receive them, the heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in that hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer, but because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help in our efforts. Give us strength to strengthen the daily task, to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and material support of our armed service, our forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, whithersoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters, of but fleeting moments, let not these detest or deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessings, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of the enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and radical arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world united that will spread a pure peace and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just reward of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen. When's the last time you heard a president pray a prayer like that? He knew the high cost of the loss of lives. It was with a heavy heart they embarked upon that Normandy invasion, but it set a nation free and drove the Germans back to Germany. Stephen Ambrose, who is a modern historian, reflected on D-Day and he wrote these words. There were 9,387 Americans buried above the bloody Omaha beach. They aren't buried beneath the trite sayings of coexist or tolerance. They're buried beneath 9,387 pristine white marble symbols of our Western faith, stars of David and crosses of Jesus Christ. The truth is, in those anxious hours waiting D-Day invasion, America embraced the God of the Bible. I remember talking with one of my favorite men that I've ever known, Floyd Blevins, and asked Floyd Blevins what it was like. He said, John, he said, we all embraced faith in Christ. We all embraced faith in Christ. We all prayed. We filled our churches, and we prayed for our soldiers and our sailors and our airmen. Said it was a time of revival. We need that revival again. I have a little book beside my bed. It's interesting things about presidents. And the interesting thing is there's a couple of very short inaugural speeches. George Washington's second inaugural speech was the shortest on history. It lasted less than 1 minute. It was 135 words. But the second shortest was FDR's fourth inaugural address to our nation. It took less than 3 minutes. 3 months later, he was dead. 5 months later, the Germans were beaten and Europe was won. 8 months later, the Japanese surrendered and our nation had independence and our world had independence. As I read the speech, and I won't read it here, but as I read that, I thought about how often FDR talked about dependence on God. And I want to read this. This is just a little bit of it. And he said, the Almighty God has blessed our land in many ways. He has given our people stout hearts and strong arms, with which to strike mighty blows for freedom and truth. He has given to our country a faith which has become the hope of all peoples in an anguished world. So we pray to him now for the vision to see our way clearly, to the way that leads to a better life for ourselves and all fellow men to achieve, to the achievement of his will, to peace on earth. He made references to God in this short speech 8 times in 3 minutes. 8 times in 3 minutes. That's our past. And I think that the reason America survived and had thrived in the 20th century is because people were seeking the Lord and churches were filled. In 1954, in Southern Baptist Life, you know what they said? 1954, 1 million people were baptized in Southern Baptist churches. You know what they said in 55? 1 million more, but it never happened again. You know why? We've turned from God. We've turned. Third affirmation that I want to make. Nations that forget God lose his protection. We lose his protection. When you look at Israel's history, you see that God protected them when they were being obedient to God, but then when they began to go after false gods, God would chasten them. He would send pestilence upon them. And as a nation, they would be losing their country again. And over it happened. And then they would turn back to God, and then God would bless them again. But in America, we've done the same thing. We have turned from the God of the Bible, and we've started worshiping gods of our own making. And as we've done that, his hand of blessing has been removed from us. In Psalm chapter 9, verses 15 through 17, the nations have sunk down in the pit which they made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. If we want God to bless America, we as Americans better start blessing God. We better turn back. You know, it reminds me of that Virginia Slim commercial. We've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way in the wrong direction, though. It's time to turn back to God. You know, from the Brits' invasion of America in 1812 until September 11th, 2001, there was not a foreign invasion on the 48 states in all of those years. Why do you think that? Well, it's because of our location. You can believe that if you want to, but that was God. God protected our land. In Washington's first inaugural address, the first official act was to ask God to bless our nation. That was the first thing that he did. And he ended the speech with a solemn warning that's proven to be prophetic, and I want to read it. We ought to be no less persuaded that the favorable smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. We've been blessed with a smile of God because we turned to God. And Washington said those smiles from God would disappear if we turned our back on God. Now, in 2021, do you think God is smiling over our nation? Morally, do you think God is smiling on our nation? Spiritually, do you think God is smiling upon our nation? He said, John, you've had a lot of bad news today. Well, I've got some good news to end with, okay? Affirmation number 4. Our response. Pray that our nation would return to God. Pray that our nation would return to God. And now there's two reasons I believe we can find favor with God again. Number one, it's in Joel 2. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. That's the first reason I believe that God will bless America. The second reason I believe that God will bless America is in the 1730s. You know, when the first people that came in the Mayflower and the first pilgrims that came to America, they were seeking God. They were seeking freedom to serve God. But then in Europe, they emptied the prisons. And you know what they did with those second group of people? They sent them to America. And those men and women were not seeking God. They were seeking gold. And by 1730, 10% of the American population attended church. 10%. And you had twice as many taverns in our country as churches. But then something happened. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, two pastors, began preaching. And maybe you've heard, maybe you've even read Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. If you haven't, I suggest you read it. And America had this great awakening. And the churches were filled and taverns were closed. And God blessed America again. Well, I'm praying for God to do this today on Independence Day 2021. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, that's us, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and do what? Pray and seek my face, and then do what? We have to turn from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Aren't you ready for that? Wouldn't it be great? How many remember the 60s? Those of you that do, how many of you never locked your doors? How many never locked their doors now? Not many. Not many. Why? Why? What's changed? I want you to bow with me for just a moment.